Welcome to episode 424 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps us make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Dawn, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, and Lindsay. Although it has always welcomed tourists, Iceland wasn't on a lot of bucket lists until two big events in pop culture. The famous Icelandic Viking clap from the UEFA Euro 2016 games, and of course, Game of Thrones. Since then, Iceland tourism is booming. And one of the many ways that folks are experiencing it is through the multi-day layover option that Iceland Air offers, drawing you in with inexpensive fares to nonstop to Reykjavik, and then allowing you to connect anywhere from 1 to 7 days later to your next European destination at absolutely no additional cost. But is it really worth it to only lay over for a day or two? And what can you really do in that amount of time? And is it worth it? Lindsay has done this on one of her many European adventures, and Elizabeth also recently spent a couple of days in Iceland before a cruise. So we thought we'd explore how much you could really do in just a day or two. So let's get started. So where exactly is Iceland? We know it's near Europe, but you know.
Yeah, it's near Canada too. It's only a 4-hour time zone difference from the East Coast. So it's actually much closer than you sort of think it is, even though it's pretty far north. So a flight from RDU was about five and a half hours, which, you know, if the wind is in your favor or not in your favor, I guess is the case maybe, that's less time than it takes to fly to California.
They now have direct flights from here.
Right. And it's a nonstop flight. So not far at all. It's northwest of the British Isles. It's right where North America plate and the Europe plate, the tectonic plates come together.
That would explain why there's so much volcanic activity.
Yes, it would. It would indeed. Yes.
At any given time, there are more tourists in Iceland than there are actually landing.
Mm-hmm. Did you fly on Iceland Air, Elizabeth?
Not on purpose, but I did. So I was on Delta with a connecting flight because I'm a Delta girl and I wanted my points, dang it. And they canceled my flight to JFK. So they put me on the Iceland Air flight, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I'm also not really a discount airline girl. And if I am a discount airline girl, I like to book far in advance where I can choose my seats and not be in the back by the bathrooms. So yeah, it was less than ideal from that perspective. And I was, you know, we were actually booked in Comfort Plus. There is no Comfort Plus on Iceland Air. So yeah. So I mean it's only 5.5 hours.
I am intrigued by the nonstops from RDU though. That's kind of
they don't cool. serve food on the flight either, just yeah.
Okay, over so the water. Snacks.
Yeah. Yeah. I did get, and actually I was kind of grateful for the opportunity to fly it just, you know, to see what it was like. Lindsay, did you fly Iceland Air when you went? Did you do the?
Ow.
Oh, wow.
Which I will say it was one of the new Dreamliner, right? And I put in for a little upgrade. A bid on an upgrade or whatever, and I got an upgrade. So I was in the first row, which was really nice. And it was my first time getting to be on one of the planes that my husband works on. And so I had to take pictures and videos and send it to him real quick before they told us to turn everything off. Like, how do I take this window? How do I?
I was not on a Dreamliner. I was on a 3x3 plane. Like, what was the 747 or whatever? Like, 747's big, right? I don't know my planes very well. 777? It's the same. It's like the plane that I take to Atlanta is bigger than this plane.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That would be a 727 then. 727. Or a 737.
It's small. It's 3x3 with a first class
cabin. Propeller.
Yeah.
I think a couple of us could ask and find out for you.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, and I think I actually was talking to Robbie Amita about it and he asked me. And so we looked it up, but now I don't remember what it was. So it was a small plane. I mean, and by, you know, from what I'm used to flying over water with, it's small. So, but again, it was a fairly short flight, all things considered. It is still overnight, but it's only 5 hours. So 5.5 hours. So
what did you do while you were there?
Well, we had a few days. We got there. We did a food tour, not a food tour, but a walking tour. I have food tour on the brain because I'm sure Lindsay did a food tour with her time. But we did not do a food tour because somebody in our party didn't like seafood. Was that it? Or I can't remember what it was. But so we chose a walking tour. It was called Walk with a Viking. I was hoping it would be a little bit funnier than it was. It was okay funny, but it was basically just talking about it's actually kind of a funny title too, because Iceland has one of the most homogenous populations. Like everybody there is of the same race and color, and like homogenous.
They have a very specific dating app.
Yes.
So on the island, yes. To make sure that you're not actually dating one of your cousins.
Yes. That you're not related.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my have to double check who you're actually dating.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like where my husband grew up.
Did you sign up for this tour, Elizabeth, thinking that you were going to be like walking with a Viking biking?
Well, I was hoping.
And then you got a history teacher.
Hoping. Actually, he was very funny and he was not bad looking, but he was not Thor by any stretch. Honestly, I was kind of hoping for something a little bit more hokey, honestly, and it wasn't. It was very much, you know, history based.
I feel like we need to apologize to any Icelandic Danish.
Yes. Well, and he did, honestly, Viking history is pretty funny anyway, because I mean, they're funny not in a good way. I mean, like, they're ruthless, and like the things they did to avoid the law, and I mean, you know, they would form whole new countries just to get away from, you know, getting in trouble or whatever. So it was very interesting, but and I do recommend it, by the way. If you see the Walk with a Viking tour, I highly recommend it. And we walked all over. It's very walkable. It's very small, and the whole population of Iceland is less than 400,000 people, so it's like the greater Raleigh area. You know, it's like the whole country. So that's why you have to make sure that you aren't related, because literally it's not that many people. And the island is kind of, I mean,
it sounds like if you go back far enough, you probably are.
Well,
that's
fair,
why they really like new people coming into the country to live.
Yes. Although they do control that as well. And actually, there was, when we were sitting on the ship, there was this little island just off the other side of the ship where this little house was on it all by itself. And apparently that was John Lennon's house. It's now a museum and you can ferry back and forth, but he bought this little house on this island all by itself. It looks like a little farmhouse almost. So in fact, it looked a little bit like the house in the movie Yesterday I don't want to give anything away, but I don't know if it's the same one. I need to look.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe it was. So we did that the first day that we got there. The second day we did an all day tour out to the southern coast to do an ATV tour. And I had never ATV'd in my life. So I was really, really nervous. Like I thought, am I going to flip this thing? I was just so scared. And it was the most fun thing. I want to do that to the extent where the next trip we went on was the trip to Greece. And I tried to find an ATV tour in Corfu that we could do. I mean, not in Corfu, in Crete. And I couldn't find one. There wasn't one.
Did y'all have to double up, or did you all get your own ATV?
So you could double up, but if we had, we would have exceeded the weight limit. So we had to go solo. And so I was forced to drive it myself. It really wasn't hard though. I had so much fun. It took a little bit to get the hang of it, but I had so much fun. And it was a really great route. So it's about 2 hours away from Reykjavik. And it's a black beach. But they also had like water that you could ride through and sand that you could go through. So we got like all like regular sand or dirt, I should say. And we had all, so we had all sort of terrains. And this Black Sand Beach is the same one that Justin Bieber was filmed on. There's a plane wreck. The British Navy, I think, or maybe the US Navy wrecked a plane there and just left it because, you know, that's what they do. And so there's the like remains of the, it's mostly been gutted, but the shell of the plane is still there. So he was in the video, he's skateboarding across it, but so people go out there, it's like got graffiti all over it. So we took these little ATVs all the way out to that, so it's really, really cool. And if you go a little bit further, it's where they filmed Game of Thrones, the East Watch by the Sea, and also several other movies. It's very much like this like sci-fi. It looks like another planet. It's very cool. And of course, black volcanic sand is not that strange to think of in Iceland. It's also one of those places where they said, do not get the ATVs anywhere close to the water. And we're like, okay, well, why? Well, you could get sucked out to sea. Like the current is so strong there. And they said, sometimes you think that you're in shallow water and before you know it, you're not. And then you're gone. And he said, we're not coming after you. Like, but we'll send you the bill for the for the car.
Send your next of kin the bill.
So they were very funny as well. But yeah, it was super, super interesting and super fun. And I totally want to do that again. And actually, as they drove us out there, we saw several waterfalls. Waterfalls are apparently like on every corner in Iceland. And then also we dropped off some people who were hiking up a glacier, which they were like, we saw them getting suited up as we were pulling away and they were being given ice picks. And I'm like, when you're given an ice pick, I know that is not the excursion for me. That I definitely chose wisely on this one.
Wow.
The ATV seemed way better.
Was this summer? It was summer, right?
It was the end of August. Yeah. It was a glacier. Okay. Like, you know, and I'm all about walking on a glacier. I mean, that's so cool. But when you need an ice pick, and cramp,
I mean, I can understand the glacier or get down the glacier.
Yes.
And crampons.
Yeah. Not cool. No, thank you.
Crampons, I can understand, but the ice. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
No, not, nope. So I did not do that.
It's like Jon Snow climbing up the wall, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
It might have been the wall, actually. So then it's totally possible. And then the third day, we boarded the ship the next day. Spent the night, and then we had one more full day in Iceland and pulled away that evening. So on that full day, we did a Golden Circle tour, which sounds really strange to me, but the Golden Circle is a very popular tourist road. And you get to see a waterfall, the fault line where the two plates come together, and the geysers, the geothermal geysers. So you sort of get like three kind of cool geographic features in one little trip. So the one thing we didn't do is one of the things that I know Lindsay did and what a lot of people do on a short layover kind of trip, and that is the Blue Lagoon.
So I actually got a rental car, and I had a pretty long layover. I want to say it was over 16 hours. It was pretty long. But got a rental car, and after pretty much purchasing every single insurance known to man, and overly optimistic of myself getting the Garmin so that I wouldn't get lost driving all over Iceland, and then it dawned on me that I had to be able to spell
the
words. The
I know. I'd like to hear you guys pronounce that beach, that black sand beach.
In order to use it, I could. But so I drove all around. We went to the Blue Lagoon and spent quite a bit of time out there. I actually had some other things that I wanted to do that we didn't do because we spent so much time at the Blue Lagoon. But went out to the Perlan first. That was my first stop. Was the Perlan. Which I highly recommend of anybody going in to Iceland, even if you are going to venture further out. It's a really great place to kind of start your trip. You're going to learn all about the different geological wonders, so to speak, in Iceland. And one of the cool things that they have there is it's a I guess I'm trying to figure out how to describe this. It's kind of like a natural history, natural museum experience. So there's an underwater portion. There is a giant real ice cave inside this building, with like 350 tons of snow from the Icelandic mountains, that they've used to replicate a real ice tunnel. So if you don't want to be handed an ice pick, and you don't want to trek out into the middle of nowhere to go through an ice tunnel, you can still do an ice tunnel. And it's right here in this museum that's right in town. It's pretty accessible from town. I wouldn't say it's, I don't think it's walkable from town, but it's definitely accessible.
But is it walkable?
No.
Maybe for you.
Is it like a mile?
But there's a planetarium, there's a Northern Light show, there's a nature exhibit. You're going to find out information about all the flora, the fauna, all the animals that you're going to see in Iceland. You're going to see beautiful backlit photographs that kind of come to life of all these wonderful places to go and visit while you're in Iceland. And I just think it's a great... I saw a lot of families there with kids. I spent quite a bit of time in there. It was well worth the admission to kind of go learn about the nature and geography. And
so now, Lindsay, I know you did a food tour, but did you try the hot dogs?
I did. That was my whole purpose of going was, and the hot dogs were not on the food tour.
Really? And they're supposed to be known for their hot dogs.
They are known for their hot dogs. That was one of the reasons, but the food tour did not have the hot dogs. I actually went to the hot dog place that was featured on Anthony Bourdain's. I like hunted it down, which was not easy to find. But went to that specific one and tried a few different hot dogs. And
so what's the deal with the hot dogs?
They're delicious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's like special about them though? What's different?
Well, there's some different unusual flavors, unusual combinations. It's been so many years now, I can't tell you what I had. But it was delicious. They were good. Were they better than Alaska reindeer dogs? No.
Oh, well, there you go.
The Viking that we walked with pointed out the place we could get them, but the line is super long, and you know I don't do lines, so I was like, I don't care how good they are, they're not that good.
Yeah. and I will say that was my favorite thing I did eat there. I'm not a big fan of like raw fish and weird
pickled herring
and pickled. I don't like that at all. No disrespect to anybody who does, but it's not my palate. That was probably the best thing I had. I will say that some of the liquor and the booze that I had while I was there was quite interesting. It wasn't anything that I would want to have on a normal basis, but it was interesting to try.
Did it keep you warm? Is that what it was for?
I will say, if you want cold weather clothing, go to Iceland, man. That every shop full of just fluffy jackets and, you know, things that
really well made.
Yes.
Well made things. And I'm a firm believer in that. Like if you're buying something that is meant to be worn outside in the cold or the ice or to withstand the elements, there's no better place to buy it than in a place where their natural climate necessitates that level of quality. Beautiful. Went and walked around and saw a lot of the sculptures downtown. Walked by a lot of museums that had I had more time, I probably would have gone in. Like there's a penis museum.
Mm-hmm. That was just around the corner from where we stayed.
Yeah. There was, let's see what else was there. Was like there was a bunch of stuff that.
So would you recommend getting hotels like outside of Reykjavik and like taking a couple days to move around a little more?
I would say move, like, yeah, I would suggest moving around. Like if I had more time, I would have basically circumnavigated. I would have just driven all around and stayed in different areas, but I did not have, I did think about changing my plan.
Yeah, we did an episode a few years ago with Mike, who is now my brother-in-law, but at the time was my sister's boyfriend, and he had done a self-drive around the island.
Oh, that's right.
So it was, and he took about a week, and he said he would have taken more, but that's why I sort of wanted to focus on the shorter trip for this one, because I do think that if you're doing a shorter layover, I think it makes sense to just stay in Reykjavik and do some sort of hub and spoke kind of stuff rather than moving around a lot. I mean, if you're only there 2 or 3 days, you don't want to move around. Whereas if you're there for a whole week, I mean, because Iceland Air will let you lay over for 7 days. If you're there that long, then yes, you should definitely go stay somewhere else. And would I have preferred to not have to drive all the way 2 hours out to ATB and then 2 hours back? Yes, I would have liked that very much. Thank you. But it, you know, it wasn't possible. And the thing is, Reykjavik is so walkable, like truly walkable, not Sandy walkable, but like Lindsay and Elizabeth walkable.
Yeah, Lindsay and Elizabeth walkable, definitely.
Yeah. So there's a few hills, but other than that, it's, you know, everything's pretty close together. And so it was very easy to stay somewhat central and affordable too. Iceland actually is pretty expensive, but the hotels I found were pretty, you know, you can definitely stay in some really nice, really expensive hotels, but they're, you know, less than $200 a night, very central hotels that were clean, comfortable, and easy to get.
It's funny because the alcohol is the most expensive alcohol you're going to buy anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But I compare those prices to what I pay in Seattle. Ridiculous.
It was Miami prices. It was Miami prices for drinks, because I know like the cocktail that I ordered was $18 and there was another one that was $20. And I remembered paying $18 for a gin and tonic in Miami, and it was called the best gin and tonic you'll ever have. And I asked him, I was like, for $18, it better be. He's like, oh, it is. And it was very, very good. I think I was with all of you then. That was Jose Andres. So so it was, I was shocked at the prices. Now I will say the cocktail that I had for that price was very good, but it was definitely, you know, yeah.
Not the best gin and tonic you've ever had.
Well, I'd already had the best gin and tonic I'd ever had. So
I thought I remembered, I could be wrong, but I thought I saw during the pandemic that Iceland was like kind of investing in their infrastructure to make that road that circumnavigates the island better and like make that a bigger thing people could do. Y'all know? Am I dreaming this?
I was there for 3 days.
Might have had to invest in that infrastructure to keep tourists from ruining things. I hate to say that, but that's probably...
Yeah.
Maybe to make the roads wider, or to make there more places
to keep like Justin Bieber from running down the fields that no one's supposed to run through that grass.
I know it.
Getting out of that lake that the icebergs can flip over on him and stuff.
He got a lot of publicity about that, but I know at that point in time when I went, one of the things that kept coming up in my research was the issues they were having with people doing self drives who weren't policing their own. Mm-hmm. Garbage and stuff. So they might have, my guess, me building up like places for people to dump their waste and dump things like that. Who knows?
Because there really isn't. I mean, again, I didn't travel that road, but when we talked to Mike, he talked about there are places where there's nowhere to stop for a long, long way. And so, and a lot of the places he stayed were Airbnbs and literally like the old school Airbnbs where you're staying in a room in somebody's house because there's nowhere else to stay. So I do believe that there's some of that building up a little bit, but I don't know, honestly, because we just didn't get, we only got 2 hours outside the city. So
I feel like I read that, but need to research that.
There's the one thing that comes up on everybody's tour, and we haven't really talked about it, is the Blue Lagoon. So, Elizabeth, did you do that?
We literally just talked about that, Donna.
Well, Elizabeth said she didn't do it, but Lindsay did.
But Lindsay talked about it.
Well, I know, but we didn't really talk any more details about
it. Okay, it's a geothermal spa. They had some treatments that were included. They had the typical spa packages where you could determine the level of inclusion, kind of like what we saw in Romania, Donna, when we were at the
okay.
So there were different packages you could choose that had different things included, like slippers and robes. You could also get a massage in the water, which I will do next time if I go back. but I have my eye on a few other spas there for my next Iceland trip that I'm going to go to. But this, it was worth seeing. I did luck out. I think we were very lucky that day. It was not people soup. It was not the busy, overly crowded place that I kind of was expecting. There were definitely people there, but it was not overwhelmingly crowded. The bar inside the water was really cool. The treatments, the masks and stuff were, I'm super sensitive skin. So I'm always afraid of putting anything on myself because I'm like, is this going to be a bad time for me later on? Am I going to regret all of my life choices in about 5 minutes? But I had no reaction to the stuff. I do believe that the positive effects of that type of, you know.
Well, self-care. I've heard also that it's very coveted the mud.
Yeah.
For different mud masks and things like that.
Yeah. It was very different, but it was a commercial experience. There are some more authentic geothermal experiences to be had in Iceland. And in fact, I'm having secondhand jealousy of someone I know who was telling me about, had I known about this place, that's where I would have gone instead. but now I have to go back. This is why we have to keep revisiting places.
Oh, darn.
Well, let's say like you're doing the layover and you want to go to the Blue Lagoon, but you're on your way to somewhere else. What's like the minimum number of hours layover that you would have to do, you think?
I would not go to the Blue Lagoon if I didn't have like at least 8 hours or 9 hours, probably more than that. I really feel like you're going to want, it's not a very big airport, but it's still big enough. You're going to need time, and you need time to get there because it's not,
you know, it's not right in town.
And you have to rent a car. And renting a car in Iceland is probably the number one best advertisement for why you should be using a travel professional.
But do they not have like, they don't have kind of excursion type things where they'll drive you out there and back?
They might, but when I did it, there was nothing.
Interesting.
There was some buses you could take at certain times for different things, but it's not this infrastructure that we are accustomed to in Europe. Now, when we go over there, you get spoiled rotten that you can just take this public transportation everywhere. And those bus schedules and the set things that there are to do out there, like there might be like the Golden Road she was talking about. Well, that thing leaves at one time. This time you have to be there for the, you know, that one time a day. It's not like there's tours going all day or there's infrastructure in place to get you from point A to point B and back or to get you outside of the city. You need a car or you need a tour, you need something with some type of transportation. And
so if you wanted to do the museums, like if you wanted to walk around downtown, how far is that from the airport?
I would have had to, we'd have to taxi, Uber, you'd have to do something because you can't, I think to get to the Prahlan where I was from, even down where I want to say it was a good 15, 20 minute drive. It's not something I'd want to walk.
No. Most airports.
Especially with luggage.
I'm remembering the distance, but I remember it was drive. It was not like there were, it's kind of built out a little ways, but it's close enough in the city where it's a good thing to do, but still not something you're going to walk from your hotel to. And that's just, you know, you have that beautiful nature and the scenery there. It's not really set up for.
Uh-huh. All right, cool.
So one of the other things that Iceland is actually known for is the Northern Lights. Did you get to see them, Elizabeth?
No, and I should have been able to because everybody who went right before me and right after me saw them, but I didn't.
Oh,
see them.
Man.
Yeah. And I don't know if I didn't, because I didn't have any sort of guidance on, you know, looking. So it wasn't like I could just look up in the sky and see them. So I missed that because I know that there were people who right before and after me did that. But when we were there, we did not see them. And it was late August, so we weren't expecting to see them. So I'm trying not to be too upset about it. But it was kind of like, as I was about to go, all these people were posting from Iceland saying, oh my gosh, they're so, you know, they're out, they're brilliant. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to get to see them. And then we didn't.
It was probably like 2 or 3 a.m.
Yeah, I missed it by one day in Alaska. So
yeah, it's, I mean, it is, it's a roulette wheel. And so I bet, I guess I'll just have to go back. Like Lindsay said, you know, you just try again.
If nature's not cooperating, you can always go to the Pralan and do the Aurora Northern Light show, which is phenomenal.
And probably better and easier to see in many respects. So
probably, yeah, definitely easier to see, but you know, nothing replaces the real thing. However, you're going to get a little bit of a better quality videos. Yeah. But that's one of the things that I do like about the Pralan, and about that idea was such a wonderful thing to bring to this area, not only for the locals who and we just have said it about ourselves, is how often do you tour your own backyard? Very popular with the locals, but also with travelers as well. And even if you only have a short little window of time to experience Iceland, what better way to do that than to go to a kind of a living, breathing experience of a commercial for the wonders
that you can come. Well, it seems like it would be a good overview too. If you don't know much about Iceland when you go, it's like, okay, here are all the things you can do, and then figure it out from there. We joked a little bit about the names of things, and it reminded me of this very funny story that they told us, and maybe you guys already know this, so I apologize if you do, but if you remember years ago, not too long, within the last 10 years, there was a volcano that erupted in Iceland, and it upset like air travel all over Europe because of ashes and everything. So do you remember the name of that volcano?
No.
So it is spelled EYJAFJALLAJO with an umlaut over it, KULL. I have no idea how to say it. And neither did American journalists or any journalists anywhere in the world, but they had to say it all the time because it was completely disrupting the world travel situation. So it became E15. And I definitely heard it called E15. Well, it turns out that it's called E15 because it's E with 15 letters after it. It sounds so scientific. It's literally just, oh my God, I can't say this word anymore.
So it's, I'm just E15. Gonna say, you know what? It's got 15 letters.
So it just reminded me of that. And that is actually something that we talked about before we started recording tonight, is there's names of all these places. We're purposefully not saying them because we cannot say them. So we will put them in the show notes so that you can read them and not say them along with us, unless you're Icelandic, in which case you can mock us.
That's, you could have counted though the letters and said it like that. Like S20. Oh, right. S20
or whatever it is. Yeah. Well, yeah. And the places that I went are very, like, they were the most well-known really places that you could go. I don't feel bad about that because it was my first time in Iceland ever. So it's like everybody has to go to the Empire State Building once, you know. It's like, you go to the big things. And they were a little bit more touristed. There were definitely people there, but they were still amazingly gorgeous. Truly just beautiful. So zero regrets about anything that we did. The waterfalls are breathtaking. We saw so many rainbows. I mean, it's just, it really is like otherworldly. And I can see why Game of Thrones chose it. The same reason that New Zealand gets chosen for so much filming is because there's all kinds of landscapes.
Another geothermal island.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what one of the new tourist things to do there is, Sandy, is fly over Iceland. There's a fly
over Iceland. Like a soaring over Iceland?
Like like the Soarin' Over Vancouver and Soarin' Over Seattle.
I bet that would be cool. I would actually.
Yeah, really, seriously.
Should have done that, actually. Yeah, that's with some big volcanoes and mountains. And that's the thing, too, is even when you drive around the island, there are a lot of places that you then have to hike to. It's not like you can just drive up and be on top of the mountain and look out over it. There's, you know.
They don't have roads.
Yeah. There are places where there are no roads. So I was, you know, I'm not very outdoorsy. And Lindsay was not kidding when she was talking about all the insurance. Like, they make you insure for wind because the wind is so bad. So,
wow. Underneath the car are silts. Yeah. Just lots and lots of things to think about. And that returning the rental car process. Whew, I don't know if you had to stand in a line, but we sure did. And every single person in front of me was surprised that there was damage in a place that there was damage.
Yeah, we did not rent a car, so I feel very fortunate. We did tours the whole time, so everything was a tour. So the Golden Circle tour was part of Norwegian's program, so we did it through them. And then the ATV thing was with the tour company there, so they picked us up at our hotel and took us out to a bus station where we got in a different car bus thing and went out to do our tour. So everything was either walking or we had a driver, basically. Okay. But I will say our transfer didn't show up at the airport. And when we called, they were like, well, he can't come back now. He actually had been there and he left, even though I called and said, we're running late because there was a long line at customs. And she said, oh, well, you can take the bus. And it was 8:15. And I said, when's the bus? She said, 9:30. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Said, well, our friends are going to be here at 9:15 and they have a transfer. So we'll just drive. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, if you run into problems, all you got to do is call your travel agent.
Yeah, this is part of the tagline, we travel poorly so you don't have to.
Exactly.
That's the thing, is that we don't have anyone to call when we have a...
Exactly. And I will tell you...
Unless you got friends coming in on a flight 30 minutes later.
Right.
Like, and nine for me.
to be fair, I mean, I am the travel agent and I booked this, but I've been to Europe 3 times this year and not once did my transfer show up on time, except for one situation where they were closely linked to the company that I was traveling with. But everywhere else, my transfer did not show up or was late. I didn't have a single on-time transfer. So, it was not a good year for transfers. Don't blame your travel agent.
Transfers are tours.
Yes.
Most of the tours I booked for myself too, I would say like 30% didn't canceled at the last minute or never showed up. To include my last trip I was just on, I got stood up in an alley at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, we did.
Nice.
On that note, well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.